Hello, welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, a CineLinks podcast. I'm your host, Steve Dunk, and however you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we invite authors from all genres onto the show to discuss their latest books and novels, as well as just about anything else that comes to mind. If there's an author you'd like to see on the show, email me at steve@cinelinks.com, and I'll do my best to accommodate. Today on the show, we're talking with B.B. Alston, author of the brand new middle grade book and the first in a series, Amari and the Knight Brothers. Amari's being promoted as Artemis Fowl meets Men in Black, and while you'll certainly be reminded of such things, this book is much, much more than that. And a lot of that has to do with his reasons for writing the story in the first place, something we definitely get into. We'll discuss many of the things that make this story great, plus the fact that the series has been optioned by Universal and is being turned into a film franchise, hopefully anyways. This is a minor spoiler discussion, so if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled at all, better stop listening now, but definitely double back after you've read it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. As always, I hope everyone out there is healthy during this pandemic, wearing your masks and social distancing where possible. And after the events of the past few weeks, please stay physically safe and mentally healthy, as things right now seem to be worse than ever. If you've listened to the show before, then you know I can't help it. I have to comment on something that's happened either the day of the recording or shortly before. And I just wanted to say these recent racist attacks directed at Christina Ariel online from these shitheads is not okay. None of it is okay. And while support hashtags are nice and everything, we collectively as a group have to call out this abusive behavior from these shitheads whenever we see it. And we have to take back this platform one way or another. So just be mindful of that next time you're online. And now that I've made my guest feel incredibly uncomfortable, my guest today started writing in middle school. And after several years of trying to break into publishing, he had just been accepted into a biomedical graduate program, which I actually do want to ask him about, when a chance entry into a Twitter pitch contest led to his signing. This led to 20 plus book deals worldwide and even a film deal, which I definitely want to talk to him about, because he's probably not sick of that yet. I wonder what that pitch was. Well, it must have been pretty damn good, because he's now this huge international best-selling author, soon to be adapted movie guy. So we'll ask him about all this stuff, how he's handling the pandemic when he's not writing, if he finds time for that. But first, let's welcome BB to the show. Hi, BB.
How's it going, man? I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yes, you probably already get an idea of how this is going to go, but great time to debut a book, right?
I know, right? It's been pretty crazy.
It's just been so much of this the last, year now, and I always say it's always funny to me, you could take away any one thing. Your baseline is the pandemic, right? Yeah. So it's like you can take away all the other horrible shit that's gone on, and we're still left with this freaking pandemic. Now, for writers, that's not necessarily being shut in, as you're used to that. But still, it's a weird time. How have you handled sort of having to debut this book in the middle of a pandemic as well? Because it's changed the way we market ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been kind of crazy, because, some of the things that you're, really excited about, the parts of debuting a book is, kind of going out and meeting people and talking about the book. And right. That kind of gets taken away from you. Everything is kind of virtual. And then you just don't get that one-on-one interaction you would get, like, if you're in person. It's been kind of an adjustment. But, I think I'm probably getting used to it a little bit. It would have been nice to kind of go places. I do like traveling a little bit. So it would have been kind of nice to go out and meet people, but I'm trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, because normally you'd probably be on a book tour right now, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that, obviously. Now, how has your production been, though? I mean, obviously you have deadlines, so you have no choices there, but how have you felt, you've probably got other things on the go too, creatively. How has your creative spark been?
It's been kind of touch and go, man. Sometimes, some of the headlines are kind of rock you, especially this past year.
Yep.
And that'll kind of throw you off. But writing has always been kind of my thing that I can kind of go to kind of mellow myself out. So it's been cathartic at times too. So
it's like a healing thing. It's not just a job. It's your safe sort of healing thing too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right on. Congratulations for sure on what seems to be a very successful release of Amari and the Knight Brothers. And so like a lot of, you know, you're not alone in the sense that you have been writing your whole life basically. But you did take somewhat of a sizable break there kind of in your teens, one that seemed to coincide with puberty. Am I right that some of this break had to do with the laws of attraction, or was this or something else going on there? What happened?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think, you know, I got kind of
because you stopped writing for years, like when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah, well, like my late teens, and then most of my 20s, I wouldn't write anything at all.
Right. You didn't write anything.
Like anything, yeah, you're right.
Okay. So what were you doing?
Oh, just working, man.
Biomedical graduate program. That's what you're doing. Yeah, studying for that probably.
Funny thing about that is, you know, I didn't actually, you know, the first time through college, I flunked out. My mom got sick, and I just, you know, it was a lot of stress at home.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just flunked out, man. And so most of my 20s were spent working in restaurants and warehouses. So I was working, you know, long hours, and that's probably a big reason why, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to write.
Cause you were exhausted probably.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't until my 30s, actually, you know, I kind of met my wife and, you know, kind of settled down a little bit, had a little more room, a little more money, kind of a little more time, and I actually started, you know, so let me get back to that writing thing. And that's kind of where things kind of took off for me.
was that a gradual reintroduction, or did you just like literally just say, you know, screw it, and just like, you know, dust off the typewriter try and find some blank sheets?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I wouldn't write in whole books. It was just like, you know, just short stuff.
Sure.
You know,
of course. Yeah.
And then, wasn't until my 30s I thought, you know, maybe I can write a book. Maybe I can do something that, you know, other people might be interested in. And so that's kind of where that started. Kind of in my early 30s.
Was that always though in the back of your mind, or was there a trigger, like a lightning strike?
Well, you know, it's something I always wanted to do. It's kind of in the back of my head. And then, you know, when I got more time, there wasn't any excuse not to do it anymore.
Sure.
So I said, you know, let me go for it, you know, and see what happens.
So it was always in the back of your mind. Like it never truly went away, is what you were saying.
For sure.
Right on. Well, I'm glad you did. Glad you came back. So one thing I wanted to ask you, I don't think I've been able to find this anywhere. Is Amari, it's a series, but is it a duology, trilogy, longer than that? What's the idea?
All right, now we have a trilogy kind of set up.
And okay.
If there's any more books after that, we'll just have to see. But right now, we have a set trilogy.
And you pitched it as a trilogy, or did you just pitch it as one long story and then they asked you to cut it up three ways?
Oh, we pitched it as a trilogy, for sure.
Oh, okay, perfect. How long had Amari been kind of floating around though before you did the that pitch?
Probably like 5 or 6 years I've been kind of working on it.
Okay.
Like 2014, 2015 is when I started it.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get into sort of like, you know, specifically why, you know, inspired to write this story. Okay. But this gets optioned by Universal. You know, there was kind of a bloodthirsty, you know, fight to the death battle over this book, this story anyways. You know, this isn't going to happen every time, right? Absolutely. Right. Like, what's happening now is a movie kind of, right. You know, like Don Cheadle called me up.
Yeah.
You know, my buddy, you know, the Avenger, right. Yeah,
he called me on the day Avengers opened up. That was so crazy.
Like from the red carpet, or was he at least in his hotel room?
I think that he's a memoir or something.
Okay. And you, Marseille Martin is starring, and I think she's producing a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if everyone doesn't know, she's from Black-ish, wonderful, wonderful actor. And just like, you know, just seems perfect. You could, you know, you picture Amari, you picture her, don't you? Like that, you must have been super thrilled with her being involved. Yeah,
for sure.
who's the screenwriter?
Ozzie Esquire.
Okay. Are you happy with that? Are you happy with the person they chose? Are you happy with how it's going? Like, talk to me, spend a minute or two. Obviously, you can't reveal any of the dirty, you know, Hollywood secrets or anything, but. How has this been for you working with a screenwriter, and are you happy with how they are adapting? Because it's your story, right? No matter what.
Yeah. So far, I mean, we've talked a few times and kind of brainstormed some story stuff. You know, obviously they can't do everything that, you know, is in the book. You know, I can write a thousand fantastical things, but they have to pay for it. You know,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
So, you know, there's been some compromises as far as, you know, especially with it being a, you know, kind of a first movie in a franchise. If it turns into be a franchise, you can't go as far out as maybe you would for a big sequel or, you know, anything like that. But
right.
So far, we know from the discussions we've had, I've been really pleased. You know, it's kind of an adjustment to kind of see your story through somebody else's eyes. But, you know, it's been kind of fun too, you know, because they think of things you didn't think of and different ways to attack certain scenes. So I've enjoyed it so far, for sure.
Right. And I mean, like, it sounds like you're very happy with sort of their understanding of the story, because I mean, and you don't sound like the type of guy that would sell out. So, I mean, you know, if they, it seems like their vision really, really closely matches up with yours, you know, plus or minus a few little things here or there.
Yeah. So far, I mean, hopefully nothing changes, but as for right now, everything's right. Pretty great. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to be like, okay, we decided to cast white.
Yeah.
For Amari. Right. You know, you'd be like, okay, give me that check. Give me that check first. And then we'll talk. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. Cause I, you know, it's always, you know, I love asking that question to authors who have had stuff optioned, because we know it's a machine sometimes, right? We've heard, we've got decades. Yeah,
I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah. Sure. Right. Like decades of horror. Yeah. Just bad shit happening. And it sounds like you seem pretty happy with it. And at the end of the day, it's, you're the one who's got to be happy. Right. So,
yeah. I'm pretty happy so far, I have to say.
Right. So one of the things I wanted to do this year too, was, you know, I feel like we discussed the problems of publishing a lot. Like, it's, I feel like we know what the problems are now and we know who's responsible, right? It's white people. And that's fine. So what I'm trying to do this year is look at like ways that we can, you know, improve that, those awful statistics, right? Like, mm-hmm. especially for Black authors in particular. And it's not your job to do that, you specifically, right? That's our job, me, white guy. Mm-hmm. But if, let's say I'm a total idiot, right, and I don't know anything about it, what's a couple of great ways that we can get these numbers that are way skewed in the wrong direction sort of at least started going back in the other direction? Like, I, you know, in your mind, is it libraries? Is it pre-orders, boosting on social media, reviews, you know, pre-reviews, pre-ordering, right? It's a big one.
Well, for sure.
All the above. Like, what's a couple things? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I really want to try and help all us dumb white people. You know, you got to hold our hands. we're not good. It's clear we're not good at it. So, like, I mean, I'm good at it, but like, you know who I'm talking about. So
yeah, for sure.
I just really want to like start getting, you know, good things people can do, and not necessarily things that maybe people don't have a lot of money or they don't have access to certain things. And there's people who don't even have access to a library. I mean, that's crazy. Right. But
yeah.
But what's a couple things in your mind that you think would definitely help to start swing things the other way?
I think like you were saying, just like support, man. I think just, you know, if you, like you said, if you have the money, like support some Black authors, there's so many more coming out than there were. And that, you know, that's even the numbers aren't super great, even with that being the case now.
Right.
But, you know, just supporting them, like pre-orders are super huge. Just kind of showing the editors that, you know, people do care about these characters and these stories. I mean, even if you can just go to a library and put a book on hold. I mean, even that shows editors like, okay, people care about the book. People want to know about these characters.
Right.
People are interested. And then, you know, on that makes editors on the back end say, well, let me start finding some more stories like that. And then I think that's a huge help just in and of itself.
Especially in a series, right? Because I mean, let's envision a world as, you know, for a second where Amari didn't sell a single copy. You know, like there's no book two, right?
Oh, you're right.
So I mean, you know, this is and not everyone, you know, is aware or knows about this series at all, or even if it's a series or whatever. But if you do know about it, talking to the people out there, if you do know about this, don't wait for book two or book three to get into the series, because there might not be a book two or book three if everyone waited, right? So, yeah, you know, do your research, and if you find out a book that comes out is it going to be a part of a series, you know, we implore you to get on that right away. The reason segue that conversation into, because I mean, a lot of this, you know, I know one of the reasons that you wrote Amari was about representation, right? Because you wanted to see, you know, more people like you. I don't know if you have kids or not, but, you know, more people in publishing, on the covers, in the stories, something that wasn't there when you were growing up, right?
Well, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, so that's a big, you know, that's a big reason. So this is all ties into that type of support, right? So the more we can support it, the more stories are going to get out there. And I've always said, if you're not reading these stories, you're the one who's losing, because they're fucking great. So, right. So we'll get into Amari specifically here in a second, but just sort of like this middle grade, you know, sort of for you, like the mechanics of Amari are really that classic middle grade type of thing, right? You know, where the mm-hmm. age of the reader is determined by the main character. The underpinnings of the drama are mostly relevant or close to at least that age group, right? But
absolutely.
And that's still predominant mostly, especially, you know, for the appeal and the marketing for sure. But, you know, I kind of think I also feel that attitude's a bit antiquated now. And I think Amari's a great example because, like, I'm 44, I'm white, I have zero magical ability. I have no reason to connect with Amari or this story, but I fucking love this book. So, like, why? Why? You tell me, BB, why? Why? There's no way I was your target audience. You can lie if you want, but I know you're lying. You know what I mean? So I really, you know, that style of thinking, what I just rhymed off about what a middle grade is geared towards is great and still applicable, obviously. I mean, just take a look, right? How they shelve things and where they shelve them and whatever. But it's changed. I think people's reading habits have changed.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And are you conscious of that at all when you were writing this? Because, you know, it's a middle grade. You knew it was a middle grade, obviously. And I'm not saying you're going to like throw in adult content just for the sake of doing that. But, you know, you exist. You're a big reader too, I assume. Like, you know, mm-hmm. was this a case of like you were just writing what you like to read?
You know, I was, but at the same time, you are kind of conscious that, you know, because I'm an adult. So, of course, there are jokes that I don't think are funny. And
yeah.
I hope other adults will think are funny. Like, you know, I don't know how many kids are going to laugh at a tax joke. But, you know, I think, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, yeah. If it makes me laugh, I try to put in there in case it makes another person laugh. Because, you know, I know that, you know, adults are reading it and older kids are reading it. And then hopefully they get some enjoyment out of it too.
Right. Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, that's the thing. Like, because I read a lot of everything, really. But I read a lot of YA, you know what I mean? And I just really, and I just love it so much. I mean, mostly, you know, science fiction fantasy, but mm-hmm. You know, I think this story I think this has so much cross appeal, you know, I know other people who feel the same way, like adults, right, who feel the same way. Like, I don't even have kids. Like, I have no one to pass this book to, right? So, like, but it doesn't matter because I love it so much, so I'm not going to give it to anybody. But anyway, so one of the you know, there was this great, at the beginning of the book, you sort of write, there's this, I guess it's a letter to the reader, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It really was beautiful, the way what you wrote at the beginning of this book. There's, you know, the one quote, I'm just going to read it. It says, BB was inspired, inspired to write Amari and the Knight Brothers because he couldn't find any fantasy stories featuring Black kids when he was growing up. He hopes to show the kids that though you might look different or feel different, whatever the reason, your uniqueness needn't only be a source of fear and insecurity. There is great strength and joy to be found in simply accepting yourself for who you are, because once you do, you'll be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, BB, first of all. Wonderful, wonderful sentiment there. And that's it, right? I mean, that's like, you know, I'm sure you've done a ton of press at this point. How many times have you been asked, why did you write Amari and the Knight Brothers? That's why, isn't it? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So like the answer going forward now, if anyone else asks that, just be like, read the letter at the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. So it really gets to the point where, yes, this book has some familiar, you know, familiarity to a lot of other sort of older washed up properties, which I won't even name, but, you know, this Amari does seem to be the exception to a lot of that rules, doesn't it? For me anyways, I just feel like this is, I just feel like this is kind of like the next step in storytelling a little bit, because I think this is what the future of this genre is going to look like. And not only because the writing, I think the writing is so great, but, and again, it's the representation, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is changing now, and it started changing, and it's starting to change even more, and we have a long way to go. But I really feel like this is like, when this gets turned into a series, like a film series, like, I think this is really going to change things, BB. I really do.
Man, that would be awesome if it did. That would make my whole life.
Right. And I mean, and then just from a personal, like, accomplishment, like emotionally, how does that feel to you? Like, is that, I'm sure you've had other people telling you that, right? Like, I have no, like, is that, do you think about that? Like, or is it just like, you're not just a unit sold guy. Like, you seem like a deep guy to me. And like that there's something going on here more than units sold.
For sure. I mean, like you were saying earlier, the idea of, you know, otherness and, you know, more representation, you know, if my book had any hand in helping other people get, you know, help other people maybe, you know, deal with some of their own issues, and like you said, whether they feel different or look different.
Yeah.
Just those messages, especially in the hands of like young readers. I think that's so super important.
And there, bring it back to the shitty part about the pandemic is like, you know, you should be at a table right now with a lineup of kids, you know, right? Of all color, of all shapes, sizes, and colors, telling you how much they love Amari and Elise and you know, and Fiona and everybody else. But we're robbed of that too. All right. So, boring question. I'm not going to read the summary. It's way too long. Give me the, you know, what's the beating heart of everyone out there? Just Google or Wikipedia the summary and read it, and that'll tell you what the book is about. But BB, what's the beating heart of this book?
Honestly, it's just a young girl kind of learning to believe in herself and then kind of learn to accept herself too.
Yeah.
Those things about herself that she can't change. She starts the story off with not a lot of confidence, and over the course of the story, she kind of learns to learn that she can be the hero of her own story. And that's kind of the same message I hope kids get.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be the hero of your own story, you know, no matter what you look like or how you feel or what you think, you know, you can be the catalyst to your own story. And that's the biggest thing I hope that people get out of the story.
You know, it's always important. It's always important to hold the reader's attention, right? Yeah. That's the point. You might say that's the point. It's obviously more critical in a series because you have to do it for that much longer. Right. Mm-hmm. So, this entire thing falls apart if we don't fall in love with Amari, right? If this doesn't work if she's not the greatest user of black girl magic, chosen one ever. It really does, right? Not over a series, it doesn't. So, right. Like, I have no problem with that, because even though I'm team Elise, Amari is a fantastic main character. Like, she's
most people are team Elsie. So yeah, that seems to be pretty much from the reader feedback.
Is that what you're hearing from everyone else too? Okay,
perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, where dragon? Like, come on, it's great. She's great, and she's just like, you know, we'll talk a bit about her in a second. But so okay. Give me Amari, like, to you, like, what's like, because I don't need my main character to be the best at anything necessarily. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, doesn't matter to me if she's the chosen one or not necessarily, but Amari has that, you know, those two or three sort of like, you know, like tangibles that make her a great main character in, you know, when confronted with this much drama. Mm-hmm. The most important, she's courage.
For sure.
Right. So, like, what do you think of when you think of Amari? Because, you know, as now you tie this in, there's the emotional side of it, but there's also like the mechanical side of it. You're like, I have to map this story out, and it mm-hmm. all flows from Amari. So she's got to be pretty damn great, right?
For sure.
So when you wrote this story, what came first, the story or Amari?
Well, that's a really good question, because the first thing I kind of thought of was a world. I kind of was done with storytelling. Mm-hmm. I kind of turned my attention to biomedical science and med school.
Right.
And so I just kind of spent my time just kind of playing around, filling out the world, and I determined not to write a story and make a character, because I knew as soon as I made a character, it was going to turn into a story. And right. Then Margaret kind of popped into my head, fully formed. I knew how she thought, how she talked, how she saw the world. And then once I had that, it was just, just telling the story. And like you said, I wanted to be kind of a tribute to the kids I knew growing up, the kids I saw that weren't coming from the best situations, but still had that perseverance. And I think that's probably the biggest thing with Amara, which is perseverance, she's got all these negative stereotypes she's dealing with, whether it's her normal life. And then even when she gets to the supernatural world, she finds out she's still on the other side of some nasty stereotypes. And so just kind of dealing with that and then kind of learning to say, I'm more than what other people define me as, I'm who I define myself as. And then kind of seeing her grow into that. I think that was the biggest part of the story for me. That was the most rewarding part.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So the world building, this is incredible. We'll talk about that in a second. But it sounds like you sort of started with this world, this magical world first, and then built a story around that, or at least a main character around that. But it is a contemporary story, and you have that sort of balancing act of sort of this supernatural world, I guess, this magical world, and then the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And in the real world, you infuse the real world with these great characters as well. Mm-hmm. What, maybe not harder is the right word, but what world proved more challenging to you, writing in the real world, like with, you have Jaden, this great character, friends with the Peters. Mm-hmm. And you do a great job with him near the end too. I love the way you came back on that. You've got, Amari and Quentin's mother, who's this just overworked, tired nurse, right? And just, just doing whatever she's got to do. And she's fantastic. So, still difficult to write. What was there, was either side of that particularly challenging at all for you, or?
It was the real life stuff was pretty easy, just because that mirrored my own background so
just
much.
Just look out your window, yeah.
Yeah, my mom was that nurse who worked
low. Was she?
Yeah. So
for real? Okay.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely. So a lot of that stuff was pretty easy to draw from.
Did she? Okay. Well, then, what did she think? Did she get a kick out of the story? Then she must have.
Oh man, she loved it. She absolutely loved it. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, how did that go? Did she must have read an early copy of it, I assume. And then did you just like leave it with her and then like call me when you're done? And then she called you, and how did that go? Like, what was the?
I'm still to this day not a super confident writer. Like,
okay.
So all like, right. I won't let anybody read it. So I'm like super certain that it's like it's been through 100 drafts.
Right on. How many drafts? How many drafts was Amari?
I honestly lost count.
Really? Okay. Okay.
It's been years, and then some stuff wasn't like a full revision; it was just like a partial revision. So that sure. Counts the draft, yeah. Or not? So it's hard, really hard to say.
So your mom didn't just read it now. you didn't wait that long.
Not that long, but it was pretty close to finish when she finally read it. Yeah.
And she must have been, was she emotional? Was she like just sort of tickled by it? What was her like?
Oh, man, she had the biggest smile on her face, and man, that made me feel so good.
Oh, that's so great. That's fantastic. So that part came easier then, because you lived it. That was sort of part of what, yeah. So, this world that you created, the world building of, the attention to detail and the minutiae in this is like fantastic, and like you, it's feels real in an interactive type of way, right? Mm-hmm. You give us a ton of information and detail. Like every scene is an information delivery machine, like almost the whole way through. Certainly when she joins the bureau, right? Mm-hmm. Even like I'm calling it a throwaway. I don't know if it is or not, but like what you call their Twitter.
Yeah.
That weird word. I don't even know if it's allowed to be called a word or not. The Yurga Flum, whatever. Yeah, right? Like like even that there's just that little detail there, right? I mean, you would have had to have spent time thinking about that, unless that was just like a word you typed up by mistake and you're like, I'm going to use that. But so anyone out there who hasn't read the book, the entire book is like that. The attention to detail is incredible. I mean, you named like half a dozen magazines that exist in this world, right? Like Elf magazine. What was that other one? The Dead Book one. It was a fashion magazine, right? Yeah. Like, So like, is that, are you like that in real life? This attention to detail, or do you save it just for your stories?
Probably just my stories. I'm the most chaotic person. Like my desk is a mess, and my room is a mess most of the time. If I clean it up. You know, I wish I could say I was, but man, I'm not.
What is your writing space like? Do you have like a separate office, or is it just a corner in a room, or?
Well, now it's a separate office, but for the longest time it was just anywhere I could be at the moment, like
your laptop. Yeah,
just open my laptop it up and... on the couch, or you know, find a little corner in the hallway and sit down somewhere like that.
Yeah, but now you've got an office that you can lock the door and do what you got to do. So talk about sort of like, because you name a lot of things. Right? Like I said, like there's six or seven magazines, this whole world you've created, this, you know, there's a Twitter and a radio station and a TV station. Uh-huh. Like there's all these things that you had to name. I mean, like, you know, I wrote these down, all the different departments.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, anyone out there just know, like, you know, Amari joins this Bureau of Supernatural Affairs, and this entire bureau is full of all these crazy departments: Department of Creature Control, Department of Spies and Secrets, Department of the Dead. My favorite one is the Half Truths and Full Cover-Ups.
Yeah.
I love that one, especially how they describe it as the whole class was about them convincing them that something didn't happen.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. How did you do that? Like, what do you just like, did you have a whiteboard going? Just like anytime you thought you heard something funny, you kind of just scribbled it down like for later? Or what was your process with filling this world with as much details that you did?
Well, you know, like I said, I kind of started with the world. So much of that was just like, you know, this would be cool. And what if this happened? And man, that would be kind of cool. And then you just kind of build detail after detail. And then, you know, as you do your revisions, each time you come back, you think you have a new idea or a new twist or something else. Right. And, you know, all that stuff just kind of adds up over time.
Since I just brought it up, what's your department? What's your go-to if you got recruited, BB? Which one are you choosing?
I've gone back and forth a bunch of times. I actually used to say Department of Creature Control.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody brought up, well, what about magical poop? Like, how would you deal with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I said, yeah, you know, that would be an issue.
each one is good. Some of them seem like the most work to me. I'm a science-y guy, so it probably might be magical science or the gadgets one. But I just laughed so hard about the half-truths and cover-ups. I would probably.
That'd be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. I'm going to go with that one. All right. So, again, this is because you think this is a series, right? So you mm-hmm. not only introduce an entire world full of all this great, wonderful detail, but you have there's a huge cast of characters. I thought you did a really great job of just developing each one just enough. Some obviously get more development than others just because you play a lead role or not.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, you were able to lean on sort of some class, like the Van Helsings, for example, right? Sort of like a known classic thing. But other times, you invented somebody like Elsie.
Mm-hmm.
Elsie Rodriguez, a were-dragon. She's just one of those great characters, even though she doesn't need any help, you just feel like I want to, like, if anyone said anything bad about her, I would just beat the shit out of them. But, when you started with the world first, that means the cast came second. So like, as did you sort of like populate this story with people as you moved along, or did you sort of have a pretty clear idea of, because there's certain things, again, mechanics that you can't get away from. If you're going to have all these departments, then you got to have people in these departments.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that sort of how you looked at it from like a real sort of pragmatic way?
Well, you know, I think like you were saying, it was just kind of as I went along, like, what did I need at that moment? like when I needed, like when I knew when Amari got to the bureau, somebody had to be on her side, right? You couldn't have everybody against her,
right?
And so, you know, so I had, that's when Elsie came out, and I said, well, why, you know, they're both out kind of outcast, and you know, they're naturally kind of would kind of gravitate toward each other, and that'd be a great moment to also show, you know, that, you know, you can be that person to kind of reach out to that kid who's struggling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as then she, of course you need antagonists, and so I kind of, as I went along with what I needed, I would kind of build characters that way, and then try to make them as real as possible. You know, even with the villains, I tried to make them, you know, realistic. You know, I don't think anybody runs out to be, chooses to be like super, I mean, 100% evil. So,
right.
I try to give them realistic motivations.
Well, that's the thing you do. Yeah. You infuse a lot of history, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't, like, that's the great thing about this book that I love too, is, you introduce something, then you explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't. So you introduce us to this world and you explain the roots of it, the history of it, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You explain why these, a lot of motivation too in this book, I noticed, right? You explain a lot of character motivation in this book. You don't leave much for me to figure out, which is great because I'm not that smart. So it was super great that way. Now, because it's a series, you got to leave us wanting more. Obviously, that's the goal anyways.
For sure.
I'll let everyone else decide if you did or not. I think you did. So you sort of, there's this thing in there, and I don't want to get too spoilery here, but you know, it's, you introduce not, so we have this world, this magical world, and then even within that world, there's worlds, and then turns out there's a whole other world in that world. So is this sort of like, what, you know, when you outline this whole thing, is there anything that's, you know, and you've done a ton of revisions, you said,
mm-hmm.
how close to this story, this product now, it is a product,
mm-hmm.
resembles sort of what you maybe had envisioned in your mind?
I think the heart of the story is the same, like Amari's journey, but as far as like maybe the details have changed a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the changes I made over time. It all kind of blends in my head now.
Because there's this, I don't want to say their name, but because like there's this other group in the story now that reveals themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that was a pretty late addition.
Was it? Okay, I'm trying to say this without saying it because I don't want to spoil it too much for anybody, but that's what I thought, and I kind of felt like that, mm-hmm. and it didn't feel like a late, you know, a late game substitution or anything like that, mm-hmm. but it does feel like an idea that would sort of be born from another idea.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So whether, you know, what, at whatever point in the process it showed up, it does feel like something that showed up a little bit later than the other ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See what I mean? So, but without saying, you know, like wink, wink, ear pull. Yeah, for sure. So again, the characters from top to bottom are great. Was there a concern about blowing your wad? I don't know how to say it any other way. Too much in this book. Like you got to save something for you know, for book two and book three, right? So did you feel like you had to hold back a little bit? Was there some idea you really maybe wanted in this book, but then had to convince yourself to no, we're going to save that one. And without saying the idea, obviously.
There were a couple things, but I think for the most part, I just wanted the book one to be a satisfying book. Like, you know, I hate those books that, you know, they end without an ending. And it leaves you with like a real sharp cliffhanger.
Yep.
So I really wanted to feel like a whole story. Like, so if this is the only one you ever read, you still come away feeling like, okay, that was a good book.
Right on. Yeah. No, and that's, and I think this works well both ways. I think you're right. I think it's sort of like the Fellowship of the Ring, right? Like it mm-hmm. you could probably be okay if you had to walk away, but there's room, right? That you've left a lot of room to tell more stories. And even if it wasn't like you, I mean, if this thing gets huge, other people are gonna take this from you and write, you know, like, and then the fans are gonna fanfic it. So I think what you've done is you've really set the table here in a really, really great way.
I appreciate that.
So this book's already out. This book, or this episode is going to air, you know, next week. And by then it will have been out for a couple weeks at that point. So if you don't have this book, Amari and the Night Brothers is out, please buy it wherever you buy your books. We don't want to give any more money to that bald pandemic profiteering crazy person. So please support local. There's tons of local places that are doing online deliveries now, so you don't have to go give that guy any more money. But listen, everyone, we're all regionally locked too. So if you have to, you have to. But please support local places. BB, is there anything in your area you'd like to support, a local indie store you'd like to short a name?
We have a book. We have a indie bookstore called The Book Dispensary.
Okay.
Great place here in South Carolina.
Perfect. BB, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I don't know how many more of these you got. You're probably winding up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think we have a couple more, and then that's all, I believe, for a few, couple of weeks.
Is there any updates on book two that you're allowed to talk about at all? Like, is it done? No.
No, I wish it was done.
Is it even close?
It's close, but it's still got a little ways to go. I'll be going right to this as soon as I'm done here. I'll be right back to book two.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah. All right. I assume you have a deadline, though, so you probably...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
for sure. So can we... I assume we won't... Well, we won't be getting that this year then. Probably, hopefully next year. That's the goal,
yeah,
I assume.
Yeah, right? Next year, yeah.
Yeah. Is there any news on the film that you're allowed to share or talk about as far just, and I don't mean detail, like spoilers. I just mean like where are we in the process?
I'm thinking they're in the process of, we've already did one draft of the script, and I think we're going to the second draft.
Okay.
And then we'll see where it goes from there.
and they're just really quickly, are they like keeping you in the loop?
Yeah,
all the time. Like, are they calling you on every change or anything, or are they just sort of like updating you on a weekly or bi-weekly basis?
I think it's probably about like maybe once a month I get in contact with maybe with Todd from the producer side.
Yep.
Or Ozzy as the screenwriter. They've done a really good job of keeping me in the loop, though.
Perfect.
Like. Yeah.
Well, like I said, ultimately it's your story, so you know I'm relying on you. You're happy, you know, if you're happy, that means I think we're all going to be happy, right? So whatever this thing turns into, it ultimately, like I said, if BB's happy, then we all have cause to celebrate. So
yeah, I hope so, for sure.
BB, enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of your year. I'm so happy for your success. This book is great. I hope everyone buys it and reads it. It looks like people are just enjoying the shit out of it. So please enjoy the rest of your year. I hope you do it safely. I hope everyone in your family is safe and healthy right now.
So far, so good. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Okay. Give your mom our best. Oh, yeah. We love her. I love that she's in the book. So thanks so much, BB, and we'll talk to you soon. There you have it. Another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to BB for chatting with me about Amari and the Knight Brothers and many other things. It was really great. Amari is, of course, for sale now, so definitely get in on this series by buying book one. You definitely won't regret it. Another reminder that Black History Month starts next week, so be sure to support Black authors all month long by not only buying and reading books from Black authors, but supporting them on social media, boosting their work however you can. It's a huge help. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and head on over to cinelinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please continue to be safe out there. Bye for now.